Welcome to the Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus radio show that strictly talks hockey. If you got any questions, comments, concerns, you can give us a call, 204-269-8636. That's 204-269-UMFM.
Yeah, save the calls at least for the first little bit, as we have a special guest on today. Happy to have him along. Fade in and fade out there with Vampire Weekend. I was like, hit the switch a little bit quickly there. As we bring in this gentleman, I want to welcome a very special guest to the show tonight. Andrew Shevchik is going to be joining us here momentarily. Andrew is the director of marketing for Boston Pizza. That'd be your Whiteout headquarters, everybody, who are featuring all sorts of Jets-themed drinks and foods as our Winnipeg Jets compete for the Stanley Cup. Andrew, can you hear us? How is everything going? Oh, wait. Oh, hold on. We're going to get that fixed.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm going to get that fixed.
We got beans on the case here as we need to make one change to our setup here. There we go. Andrew, can you hear us?
We can hear you.
Trevor? Good. We got everything going now. Got everything fixed in terms of making sure we can connect. So, how's things in the world of Boston Pizza right now for you guys?
They're great. We're just catching our breath. It was, a monster first night there with the first night of the whiteout. So all the fans, everyone was out, and I think your listeners and we're probably like everyone in Boston Pizza in that first period when we saw Patrick Laine wire that first goal in over Bennington. We thought, the route was on. So lots of excitement last night. Didn't quite turn out the way we wanted to, but I think we'll bounce back strong on Friday.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to that next game in terms of seeing how the Jets respond. Obviously, we want to see a big win out of them here at home. So let's talk a little bit about what's going on at Boston Pizza, because you guys are doing all sorts of great stuff. What specials, what Jets-themed grub and beverages is Boston Pizza offering during this spring here in the playoff run?
For sure, Trev. Well, we're really thrilled to say that working with the Jets, we can call ourselves the official playoff headquarters of the Winnipeg Jets,
right on,
which we think is pretty cool. And so along with all of that, we're able to talk about and promote all these things that we're doing. Number one, we've got our great whiteout pizza on special during every playoff game. And that's some of our people might know that as our Great White North pizza. So we're going to have that featured on game nights. We also have, a lot of people might know about the Budweiser Whiteout Brew, limited edition. So that's on special every game. Then our stores have all kinds of things like Whiteout Shots. We've got all kinds of names for those ones that we're going to be featuring on special. And something we call our Jet Blue Sangria, which is fabulous. You have to try it. And that'll be available every Jets game. And probably the biggest thing that is most appealing to people is, on top of all of that, every single game, one lucky fan and their guest is going to win front row pass to the glass tickets to the next home whiteout, which are these amazing seats right on the glass, right behind the opposing net.
Right on. That sounds like it's going to be a good place to hang out then. So, folks, if you're going to the Whiteout, maybe stop in at Bad Boston Pizza downtown there, especially in and around the arena there. Obviously, a good place to stop. Speaking of that, I mean, noticed last night on TV that Boston Pizza, you guys had whited out the logo behind the net. Obviously, that was huge on the boards. On social media, you guys were urging other board advertisers to do the same. Was there any traction? You guys get any traction out of that? Or are you guys going to be the only whited out logo so far?
Yeah, you know what? That's really cool that you noticed that. We've put the call out to some of the other sponsors and brands. We're still waiting to hear where that's going.
Right on.
We're all about it and working with the Jets on this, and they set us up in a great spot for that rink board. We'll see how long that lasts. We wanted to try it. We're really glad that people noticed it, and we got some good talk about it on social media. So we want to bring the whiteout to life as much as we can, and certainly every one of the stores that we've got all over the city, 11 restaurants in Winnipeg, everything outside of town, Selkirk, Portage, Steinbach, Morden, everyone is doing the whiteouts. So we're really trying to make it as fun for our guests and just as exciting to watch the game.
That is awesome. Now, for those that aren't aware, Whiteout Pizza is going to be available, as you said. It's actually, in terms of what you guys offer, the Great White North Pizza. If people don't know, what is on the Whiteout Pizza?
Well, it's our fresh hand-pressed dough. It's our signature pizza sauce. And then we have smoked ham, cheddar, mozzarella, and then to add a little bit of the white on top of it, Parmesan that's grated on there, fresh Parmesan. So really popular pizza for us. We thought we'd have a lot of fun with it. It's delicious and a lot of fun to watch the game. But we know people are going to be ordering their spicy pierogies and their Boston Royals and all their favorites. We just thought we'd have some fun with that one. You know, we know a lot of people have all their different favorites, but this is just kind of a cool way to jump on the whiteout and get in the spirit of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it sounds like it's in terms of that pizza. I'm a big fan of the spicy pierogi beans. I know you're a fan as well, aren't you?
I'm a fan of all Boston pizza.
There we go. See, there you go.
Well, I'll tell you, you guys, you know, have been so great. Talking to me today, I don't know if we can do this, but for people that are listening, I'm sure you got lots of people listening to the show. You know, if you want to give out a great whiteout pizza to maybe someone that can say what they're doing tomorrow night, or something about the Jets, or who they think is going to score the game winner tomorrow for us. You know, we can maybe give one of those great whiteout pizzas away. And since you guys like the spicy pierogi pizza, we'll get one of those for you.
Hey, that's awesome. That's fantastic, Andrew. Thank you very much for that.
We're Boston Pizza. That's what we do.
That's what you guys do. Absolutely. Now, I got to ask you, before we let you get going, because I know you got a couple other, 101 other things to do tonight, but besides score more goals, what do the Jets need to do? Do they need to make any changes for game two? Maybe stop by Boston Pizza for a pregame meal? Would that work?
You know what? I'm going to tell you guys something that's kind of cool. One of the players, we've got stuff going on at all the BPs across town. Yeah. So, you know, the cool thing for us, no matter where you are, you know, if you don't want to go, if you don't want to go be outside, you want to relax, chill out, big TVs at BP, some ice cold beverage and your favorite BP, you know, we've got the best place all over town to watch the game. But at our downtown store, there is one particular sniper who we're very fortunate. His mom and dad love to come into Boston Pizza.
Right on.
So if you go there you might see who they are. We're not going to say exactly who it is, but they're super nice people. They come into BP a lot before the games, and we're always pulling for one guy to pull the trigger. So I am going to say tomorrow night, I think who's going to stir the drink for us is number 29.
Number 29, I like that. He was a big player in game one there. We'll see if we can get maybe a little bit more out of him there in game two. But I want to say not only thanks for this interview, Andrew, but I don't know if a lot of people are aware of this. Boston Pizza is a huge supporter, does a lot of stuff for Bison Sports as well. So I want to say thanks as being a big supporter of Bison Sports around the university here, because certainly we know that your contribution, as important as it is, helps the Bisons do a ton of stuff. So not only are we happy to have you on Talk Jets, but we want to say thanks for having you guys as partners with Bison Sports as well.
Oh, hey, you know what? We really appreciate you saying that. I just want to give a shout-out to Lisa Tinley, who we work out with Bison Sports. She's absolutely awesome. And going way, way back with BP Pembina, we've had a real privilege to work with the hockey program, with the volleyball, with basketball, with track. There's some great coaches there. And as someone whose family's been involved with CIS Sports and seen a lot of games at Max Bell, I think it's a fantastic. And IGAC, we really appreciate that, and we're really happy to support Bison Sports. We have a scholarship that we give out. This year we gave it out to four players, and just for everyone listening, if you haven't checked out Bison hockey or volleyball or basketball or even soccer, okay, It's great to go see, and really, if you can, go check out a game, because athleticism and the competition is absolutely top-notch.
So again, we'll just run that down quickly. If you want to run it down quickly again for us, Andrew, what exactly, if we're coming into order, if we're going full Jets that night for dinner, what are we ordering?
Yeah, what you're ordering? Number one, if you're in BP, cactus cuts are a given, so you got to start with some cactus cuts. But, I mean, you can have your favorite BP. We've got all kind of features. If you're coming between 3 and 6 or 9 till close, which will be very relevant tomorrow, we have $4 happy hour that we're going to be featuring on sleeves. We've got drinks, everything, starting from $4. So that's a great deal. But what we really want to get you in the mood is make sure you try a great whiteout pizza. It's fantastic. Try a nice ice-cold can of Budweiser whiteout brew, which is great. And then if you can, if you're in the mood, try the JetBlue Sangria or some of our whiteout shots. You will be primed for a Jets victory. And we think I'm gonna call it right now. I think I'm going to say the Jets are going to win it 4-1.
4-1? I was going to put you on the spot and say, what do you think for tomorrow night, Andrew? But I like that. I like the bold call on that. That's solid.
Yeah, fantastic. And, hey, so we've got, like I said, we've got that large great whiteout pizza for anyone that's listening. And for you hardworking guys, after, let's arrange a spicy pierogi pizza to make sure you guys are set.
Yeah, for sure. We'll get everything over to you in terms of information. I'm going to get Beans to dig up maybe a trivia question. We'll get that whiteout pizza given away tomorrow for somebody either tomorrow or later in the weekend for sure. But one way or the other, you'll get some information from us from one of our listeners anyway, and we can get that hooked up so we can get another fan into the Boston Pizza locations around the city for a whiteout pizza and certainly everything else that's happening there.
Oh, just one little thing that maybe we want to tell you.
Sure.
We made this pledge early on, but if the Jets take Lord Stanley and bring it home to Winnipeg.
Oh, I read about this.
The first time in 26 years that Lord Stanley would come back to Canada, Boston Pizza is Canada's number one restaurant and sports bar, has made the pledge that we will feed the Cup Parade if it comes to Winnipeg.
I was going to say, I read about it on in the news there. You guys are estimating like 25,000 pieces of pizza will go out in that parade, right?
Yeah, I mean, we don't know how big the parade is, but, you know, we will be working 24/7 to feed it if we can. And you know what? That is I don't want to scare all of our kitchens with that. But you know what? We think that would be a great problem to have if we were all celebrating the first Canadian Cup in 26 years in Winnipeg. The first game is always the toughest. I think the Jets are going to pull it out on Friday. And Boston Pizza, we would love to feed the parade, and all with great whiteout pizzas, of course, if our boys, the Winnipeg Jets, can bring that home.
We're with you, Andrew, 100% in terms of getting behind the Jets. Nobody's ever won it 16-0, so yeah, there's probably going to be a loss in there somewhere. Let's get it out of the way early, and let's go win 16 in a row now, and then we'll party down at your playoff headquarters, Boston Pizza.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Not a problem. Thanks for joining us, Andrew. We really appreciate it.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye. Bye.
So there is Andrew Shevchik. He is the director of marketing for Boston Pizza. Fantastic to have him on. And I mean, I've known Andrew for a number of years. He worked at a different restaurant chain before joining Boston Pizza. I've known him since he worked for Boston Pizza. Guy is a monster hockey fan. Love to talk hockey with him. And certainly he is psyched about Boston Pizza's involvement. And I would be too if I was working for Boston Pizza, because they are your playoff headquarters.
Yeah, and I mean, Boston Pizza has tons of great deals. I mean, me as a family guy, they also have you buy a card for $5 and you get 5 free meals for your kid.
That's incredible.
And I was like, for $5, my kid gets to eat free 5 times.
Yeah, done.
So this last summer and this summer, We'd be going to Boston Pizza quite often.
Boston Pizza's sponsored a few other setups for us as well. They've done a couple of prizes and prize packs for us in the past as well. So, I mean, can't say thanks enough for them. And again, like we were talking with Andrew there, huge supporter of Bison Sports as well. As the radio partner of Bison Sports here on UMFM, we always see how important their contribution is to making that that program work and certainly operate as well as they do. So, again, thank you to Boston Pizza for everything they do for Bison Sports as well. So, fantastic. We will have a trivia question coming up right before the break. Right before the break, we're going to look for a winner. So in about 6 minutes' time, we're going to throw that trivia question out. I think Beans has one ready to go over there.
I think we're ready to go.
We're going to do that in a few minutes. So stay tuned for that, because that's going to get you a free pizza, a free whiteout pizza, compliments of Boston Pizza, as we said. Do want to throw out, though, a little bit of a note here. A happy 23rd birthday today to our friend and DJ extraordinaire, Miss Penny Lane. If you do the math, I know she's been on the air for 13 years, so things... Again,
she started young.
She got in early. Young. She got in early with
and
UMFM.
She seems to be getting younger every year.
But Miss... Exactly, and that's the thing. She looks like she hasn't aged a single second yet. So, happy 23rd birthday to our friend and DJ extraordinaire, Miss Penny Lane. She is the host of Punks and Parkas. That'll be heard tonight at 9 p.m. on 101.5 right here on UMFM. Make sure you call in, maybe wish her a happy birthday, shower her with praise and adoration, tell her she's the best DJ in the world.
Boost that ego.
She's absolutely worth every second. And if you're on the air, if you get a chance to talk to her, maybe request a song.
Yeah. She likes playing music.
She likes talking to people and playing music. So get your thoughts in there. And if you call us in a few minutes, maybe you'll have a pizza to celebrate with tomorrow.
As long as you know some trivia.
A little bit of trivia. It's going to be tough. Yeah. It's going to be
easy.
Are you sure?
The Google monster always comes out with the right answer.
Yeah.
Eventually. That interweb.
We'll figure it out. We'll figure out who's given the answers to specific questions here in a second. What did you think of last night's games?
I like.
Let's start with the obvious. What did you think of Winnipeg St. Louis last night, there, Beans?
I liked half of the game. About half of the game was exciting. That third period started and it was just downhill. It was downhill from there. You could see the inevitable happening.
The demons that haunted Winnipeg in the last month have returned to haunt them again. Yeah,
yeah. It's not when they say a playoffs is a new season. It hasn't started off as a new season for the Jets.
Still looks like the old.
You know what? They started off strong. There was some great playing at the first period, but it slowly faded away.
And it's weird because we were talking about this before the show. Winnipeg now in 83 games played this season, 82 in the regular season, 1 in the playoffs. 83 games. They've given up the lead in the third period 10 times.
Yeah.
If you could, even take half of those points, say you win half or even get 5 points out of overtime losses, you've won the division. That's your division title right there.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw it happen again with the Islanders in terms of that collapse. We saw it happen again last night. Like, this seems to be, and I don't want to say it's a trademark of this team right now, but this seems to be happening far too often for this to be just a random coincidence.
Yeah. There's something there that they can't pull off a full 60-minute game. I don't know if it's conditioning. I'm not sure what it is, but it just seems like it has not been. And that's one thing I think the Jets have always been one of the best teams at, is being a 60-minute team through the last two seasons, being a top team in the league, is they've always been able to put those 60-minute games together, been able to close out close games. This year has been a different story for them. So, I mean, I'm hoping that something's going to change, but, I mean, it's been a while since it has changed, so I'm not too confident on this changing anytime soon.
I would hope that, and again, I know whatever, Paul Maurice is going to probably go back and look at the roster, and I know Brandon Tanev was announced as being possible for tomorrow, so that could change their fortunes, add a little bit of speed in there in terms of getting a little bit more speed on the top three lines there. But I looked at it yesterday and I was shocked. Kevin Hayes was invisible.
Yep.
Blake Wheeler, okay, showed up a couple of times to get a couple of shots on net, but really not the same Blake Wheeler we saw in the last few weeks.
Top
of the
line
season.
Didn't look very good.
Top line, was a little bit off.
Yeah.
I thought, again, defensively, I thought Josh Morrissey had a great game. I thought Jacob Trouba looked better with Josh Morrissey beside him again. I thought Ben Chiarot was great through the first 40 minutes, and then thought he was Scott Stevens for the last 20 as he tried to hit everything that moved.
Yeah.
And not just hit everything, like hit everything with blow-up hits.
Yeah, trying to, instead of taking the body and making the good defensive play,
right.
He was trying for a big crowd pleaser. So.
And then Buff played forward more than he played defense yesterday, it looked like. And then the last two guys, Kulikov and Myers, were, and again, I hate to, and I'm not, I don't like to single out players because it's a team game, but those guys have been on for more third period collapses in that final 2-3 minutes of the game than anybody else. And it's time that either they get broken up or they get sat.
Yeah.
Because you cannot in a 7-game series. You have to win 4 of 6 now against the St. Louis team that's gone 31-10-5 in their last 46 games.
Yeah. That's
a
tough to do.
That's a 2 out of 3 game. Like, they're winning 2 out of 3 games.
Yeah. We were saying this before the show, too, is that the only time you should see a Myers-Kulikov pairing, like, I'm okay if you separate them and play Myers on the line with. Who else?
Sherrod or whatever.
Someone else in the final 2 to 3 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
But the only time you play those two together is if you're up by 4 goals or if it's the game doesn't mean anything. This is playoff time now. You got to put your top 4 defense have got to be playing those final minutes. And they weren't. And I mean that's a coaching error, I think. We said before they've been out-coached quite a bit this year. I think that's a coaching error.
Thought Connor Hellebuyck was good, though, yesterday.
Yes, Connor Hellebuyck saved the day a lot.
Looked like he was good.
And showed to Binnington. Binnington saved it for St. Louis.
Binnington kept St. Louis in it in those first 40 minutes when the Jets looked like they were the better team. And and take nothing away from Jordan Binnington. I know he's now 22-5-1 on the season or whatever he is in terms of his record. Jordan Binnington legitimately, in terms of a hot goalie, and we've seen this happen before, ride the hot goalie to the deep into the playoffs, Jordan Binnington looks like he's ready.
Yeah.
For a guy who's never played in the playoffs before, he looks ready. He doesn't look nervous. He doesn't look scared. He doesn't look overwhelmed. He didn't seem to be bothered by the whiteout and the noise yesterday.
Yeah.
It was unfazed, like it was business as usual
that,
for him.
That question he was answered in the meter scrum when the guy asked him if he was nervous, and he looked at him and said, "Do I look nervous?" Just calm and just stone face, and
like ice in his veins right there.
So and even after that, Scheifele, he got run over by Scheifele early in the game.
Yeah,
he nothing fazed him there. And I thought that, and not saying Scheifele did it on purpose, but I thought that was a good move by the Jets to
if you're gonna rattle his cage, get in there early. Yeah,
and it didn't seem to work, and he played a good game. I mean,
all right, we got about 4 minutes before the top of the hour. Or 4 minutes. Sorry, excuse me, 6 minutes before the end. I'm looking at 5:54 here. Minutes before.
Hard.
I know. I was reading instead of instead of talking. Let's open up the phone lines, 204-269-8636. If you want to win a free whiteout pizza from Boston Pizza, we're going to give this away right now. You have to answer a trivia question, though. It's not just going to be a giveaway without any work. You're going to have to do a little bit of effort for this one. It's like always, like we always do here on the hockey show. Mm-hmm. So here's your question.
Beans, you can
verify the answer. I've written it down.
Yep.
We've heard Paul Maurice talk about free pizzas.
Free pizzas.
Giving away giveaways. Pucks that are given away at the blue line are free pizzas, according to Paul Maurice. So our question is this. In 2018-2019, in the regular season, which St. Louis Blues player gave up the most free pizzas? Had the most giveaways during the regular season? Which St. Louis Blues player in the 2018-2019 regular season gave up the most free pizzas? If you know, give us a call at 204-269-8636. We want to give you a pizza. We want some free dinner tomorrow night for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're going to the Jets game. Maybe you didn't have plans to go to Boston Pizza. You win a pizza, you're going there for dinner.
Sometimes plans change. Plan changer.
This right here would be a great way to start off the night, I would say.
I would say so.
Compliments of Boston Pizza and the hockey show here on UMFM.
Yeah.
We got a caller.
Oh,
are you ready?
Caller, someone knows.
Someone is interested here. I'm gonna get this going here. Let's bring caller number one in here. Hello, caller.
Hi.
Who is this?
It's Tom.
Come on, Tom.
Oh, it's Tommy.
Jeepers.
Tommy, what's going on?
Just sitting down, waiting for the Bruins and Leafs to start.
Right on. That sounds like it's going to be a fun night tonight.
You know what would make that Bruins-Leafs game better?
What?
A free pizza.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's get to the question then. So in 2018-2019, during the regular season, which St. Louis Blues player gave up the most free pizzas, as per Paul Maurice's term for the giveaway?
I'm going to guess Jay Bouwmeester.
Jay Bouwmeester was fourth worst on the team, not Jay Bouwmeester.
Bouwmeester.
So you'll have to give us a call back, Tom, if you want to re-enter here.
Okay.
Thanks,
Tom.
Okay, bye. So Tom goes with Jay Bomeister. He's off the board.
Tom's going to call back like 100 times until he gets it.
If he gets it, he gets it. That's what I mean. Like, we're giving away free pizza here. I don't see the problem is.
No, I know. If nobody else wants free pizza and Tom wants free pizza, he'll work as hard as he can to get that free pizza.
I'm going to say right now that if you get the free pizza, it's going to be a good night regardless of when you take it. If you take it on a Saturday or a Sunday, if Jets are away, might be a good thing to do. Maybe get delivery for an away game.
Why not, right? I'm sure it's good for delivery. Well, maybe it's going to just be to eat in, but
I'm sure Andrew will set us up one way.
He wants you to get him
in
that building and eat some pizzas, try some appies, get some adult beverages in you.
Even if you don't get any adult, if you just have regular, soft drink, whatever,
it's still good.
Still good for everything.
Still fresh.
Maybe you got a family. Maybe you're like, we'll take the kids. If the kids are going to the game, we're gonna go someplace to watch. Boston Pizza's your playoff headquarters. Yep. Go watch it there.
Family friendly and also adult beverages.
So again, the question, if you're looking to get free pizza in 2018-2019 during the regular season, which St. Louis Blues player gave up the most free pizzas, had the most giveaways on that St. Louis team?
204-269-8636. And I'm not going to tell you to use the Google monster, but Google always has the answers.
Google does know a lot, I have to say.
So I'm okay with you using that because it's,
it's a tougher...
As a Jets fan, you're probably not going to know that.
If you're not a St. Louis Blues fan, you may not know that. So, we got another caller. This is likely, maybe it's Tom again. Let's see if it's Tom again. Hello, caller.
Hey, guys. You got an answer on a trivia question yet?
Not yet.
No, we don't have a trivia answer yet, so we are looking for that. Can we get your name?
Skippy.
Oh, Skippy! I was going to say, didn't even recognize your voice with you. I haven't seen you in forever. It's been a dog's year since we've seen you.
It'll be a couple more weeks. I'll be there.
That's all right, man.
We're looking forward to seeing you again.
We're welcoming you back when you get here, too. So
I still listen, guys. I still listen.
You the man. We still get you going as well. So, again, tougher question for people that may not know them. But in 2018-2019, during the regular season, which Blues player gave up the most free pizzas?
So off the table was...
Jay Bomeister was guest, and Jay Bomeister is not in that group.
I'm going to say Pietrangelo.
It is Alex Pietrangelo. He had 50 giveaways during the season. He is the worst player in terms of giveaways this season. And you, sir, have a free pizza from Boston Pizza.
Sweet. I'll take it.
There you go, man. So we will get some details from you in a few. We're going to probably take a quick commercial and do the whole legal ID business stuff. Yeah, we're going to get all
that
in there.
We got to pay for those pizzas.
We got to get something paid for around here anyway. We're going to throw you on hold here quickly, Skippy. We'll get some information from you, and we'll get everything going in the second half of the show right away. You cool with that?
Sounds cool. Go, Jets, go.
Congratulations, man. Hold on tight. So as we said, going to put Skippy on hold there for a second, and we will come back in a few moments after these commercially and legal ID stuff is done. Here on 101.5 UMFM, it is the Hockey Show as we get into playoff talk in the second half here, folks. Hang tight for that here on the radio station.
GoBisons.ca is the official home of Bison Sports on the web. Log on to GoBisons.ca for all your information on Bison Varsity Athletics. From our hockey team to football, soccer, basketball, volleyball, swimming, cross country, track and field, golf, it's all there at GoBisons.ca. You'll find player and team profiles, information on upcoming Bison special events, and full schedules for all your Bison sports. This season, log on to GoBisons.ca and support the Brown and Gold.
Right now, thousands of professional engineers are creating ways to make our lives work better. They're discovering cleaner energy solutions and better ways to get our food from farm to table. They're inventing life-changing technologies and new ways to harness the power we use and export. Professional engineers are driving innovation, invention, and exploration to make our lives work better. Everywhere you look, a PNG was here. This message is brought to you by Engineers Geoscientists Manitoba.
A candle makes no sound. Quiet in its power. Strong enough to light the way.
Hi there, this is Michael Feuerstack, and you are listening to CJUM 101.5 in Winnipeg, the place of my birth.
but love is all around. Drifting on the sound waves.
And we are back here on 101.5 UMFM. Glad to have everybody along. Congratulations go out to Skippy as winning the whiteout pizza.
Man, it's good hearing his voice again.
Yeah, it's been a while. So.
I mean, we always hear his voice after the show.
We do.
On Free Range Radio, but...
Good hearing him live and in person again. Yeah. That's always good to see. So we talked a little Jets, obviously, getting off the top there. Let's talk about some of the other games that went on last night, because there was a big upset in the East.
I don't feel so bad as a Jets fan after that big upset.
You looked at what went on yesterday, 3-0 through the first period and a bit, period and a half, and then all of a sudden...
Tires.
The walls came tumbling down.
Tumbling.
As Tampa Bay went from leading 3-0 to finding themselves down 4-3 with a little over 5 minutes to play.
And down 1-0.
And now down 1, exactly. 1-0 into the series. I know we had Brian in here last week, and Brian was telling us about how important the regular season was, how important it was. And
then Brian, he said, that knife is
and,
just...
And I'm not, I'm not taking anything away, because they came out, Tampa Bay came out yesterday and looked like they were dominating.
Scored a shorty. First
Alex Killorn, first goal of the playoffs, the short-handed goal, exactly. Yeah. But all of a sudden, after they came out of that break, or they came out of the intermission, Columbus looked like a different team.
Mm-hmm.
And from what we heard, John Tortorella went in there and basically said, look it, if you guys earned a right to be here, go out there and prove that.
Yeah.
And sure enough, they went out and they did prove that. David Savardo, of all players.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that goal by... Felino
just was,
before the period ended.
Yeah, to make it 3-1.
That was huge. That was a huge boost for them. They thought, you know, we're only down by two here going into third. This is our time. And they let it fly. And Tampa looked just befuddled. Well, I don't know what kind of words to use when you're confused.
But that's exactly, I think, the right word, because I don't think they gave up a lead all year, number one. And number two, to give it up to Columbus, who just squeaked into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, that's hard to see.
One thing is scary about Columbus is that there's a ton of firepower on that team right now.
And Bobrovsky. You can't go wrong with Bobrovsky.
You know
either.
What? If he plays his best, he could take them far. Like, he could win them a series.
I look at that yesterday, and apparently there was a big, like, Torts came over to Bobrovsky after the game and was, you know, big fist pump and looking good, Bob, in terms of the way that he, you know, the... But I look at that and I listen to the comments that John Cooper, head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning, made after the game yesterday, and I thought what he said was very interesting, because he said, when they asked him, you know, what went wrong tonight, you know, coach, what happened?
Yeah.
And he said, you know what the problem was? We tried to outscore Columbus when we were up 3-0.
Yeah.
That they basically kept pushing,
down.
Right,
yeah.
They kept pushing when they should have been protecting the lead. And I think that's a good lesson for Tampa Bay to learn. Not to say that, again, that they haven't learned lessons all season, but I think for Tampa Bay to learn that lesson in the first game of the playoffs, where, oh my God, we can be beaten if we don't play the right way, I think is a good thing for Tampa Bay. Now, granted, they may come back and just slaughter Columbus in the next four games because this might be the wake-up call they need. But in saying that, though, I don't think anybody gave Columbus a chance in game one.
No.
And the fact that they're up 1-0, and again, like Washington last year where they were up 1-0, maybe they'll make a series out of it.
Yeah.
And you maybe they'll, and again, maybe they'll win a series.
Yeah.
Who knows?
And you, first one in franchise history.
Exactly.
I mean, and I think it's a good lesson for anybody, not just the number one team in the NHL. It's a good lesson for any home team to start off a series.
Winnipeg Jets.
Not only Winnipeg Jets, but the Nashville Predators also lost their game too. So, I mean, it's not just a cakewalk anymore to get through the first round of the playoffs. It used to be, you know, with the old system, used to be, I'm not going to say the easiest path, but I mean, it was an easier path.
No, yeah.
Now
you're
playing
right.
Top teams, and you're playing a lot of high caliber teams that, you know, it could be 4 points separating, you know, first in your division from the first wild card or even the second wild card. I mean, it was so tight this year, and so there's not a lot of parity between certain teams. So it's the playoffs, you know, anything can happen. And we saw it on the first night of the playoffs, is anything can happen.
Exactly. Other series, we look forward. Islanders in overtime beat Pittsburgh, although that game really should have been over long before that. Islanders scored a goal, disallowed, in the first minute.
Yeah.
And then they came back and scored again right after that. And all of a sudden it was 2-0, and then it was 2-2, and then back and forth, basically. But Islanders look like they might be for real. Penguins look like they have zero concept of what defense is about, and they're lucky they got all that talent up front, because I don't know if they'd be able to run with the Islanders the way the Islanders played yesterday. Yeah. They looked very good from line one right through line four. That Matt Martin fourth line with Clutterbuck, that line is scary.
Good. When I saw that line start the game, I was like, there's some confidence there in all four lines on that team.
Yeah.
When they started the game again, I believe it was against the
Crosby line. Yeah.
Like, that's a ton of confidence to put your fourth line on against one of the best players in the world in Sidney Crosby. And it just showed they were skating, they were hitting, they were physical for 60 minutes, and it showed. I mean, I didn't watch the whole game because the Jets game was on, so it's flipping back and forth. But I mean, they just, every time I turned the channel, the Islanders were on the puck, even when they didn't have the puck.
Yeah, I mean, they looked good. Robin Lehner looked like he's going to run with it again in terms of just playing really well. So good for him in terms of rolling through that. Yep. The other team that everybody's waiting to hopefully see Winnipeg play is the Nashville Predators, and it looks like they may have a little bit of problem getting to that second round, as they ended up, they scored late, just not enough, as they went down 3-2 to Dallas. Not really a lot of information other than the fact they changed the goal today. Alexander Radulov getting credit for the second goal that Dallas scored. It was originally given to Heiskanen, who would have had two goals last night for the rookie, which, and again, I read the 31 thoughts by Elliot Friedman this week, talking about how if Heiskanen actually played in the market where people watched him all the time, that they would have been talking about him probably as rookie of the year.
Yeah.
Miro Heiskanen looks fantastic on that defense. We look at how good that Nashville defensive line is, you know, with Subban, Josi, Ekblad, all that. Miro Heiskanen might be the next great offensive defenseman in this league. Yeah.
And he's not the only one on that defensive core.
No, they've got others.
John Klingberg's on the point there.
Yeah.
I mean, they lost Stephen Johns for the season.
Johns,
I think he didn't play all
year. He went down,
I mean, but another great defense. But they got some good young defensemen on that team. So, I mean, I think the two hottest teams in the West coming into the playoffs were St. Louis and Dallas. And so, I mean, these aren't easy cakewalks going into the first round of the playoffs. I mean, Nashville and then Winnipeg have it cut up for them right now.
So. Matt Zuccarello with a game winner yesterday, too, after he went down with that broken arm block in that shot.
First game in the Dallas uniform.
Exactly. First game back, and he's got a goal up there already, and a big goal to help Dallas win. And then the other series that we didn't really, I mean, I don't know if you stayed. Did you stay up to watch this? No. I stayed up. I think I watched the first, 3 minutes, and I was like, I got to go to bed. Yeah. But San Jose getting a goal off Joel Pavelski's teeth, opened the scoring, and then it was simply, could Vegas withstand everything that was happening? The answer was no. San Jose looks like they're playoff ready.
Yeah, tons of firepower there. I mean, if Martin Jones can play the game the way he can play the game, they will be good.
Five different goal scorers in terms of
Eric Carlson play?
Yes, Eric Carlson did play, Five different goal scorers: Pavelski, Burns, Vlasic, Kane, Hurdle, and we haven't even heard from Joe Thornton yet.
No. Well, he doesn't need
we
to
haven't
be
even
there
heard
anymore.
From Logan. We didn't hear Logan Couture had an assist yesterday.
Yeah.
Haven't heard from Logan Couture yet. Gustav Nyquist, haven't heard from him yet. He had an assist yesterday as well. You look at that and you go, San Jose quietly might have the best team in the playoffs right now that nobody even knows about.
Yeah, I mean, coming into the start of the season, San Jose was that team everybody was talking about. There was going to be a San Jose or St. Louis. They were kind of the two top teams in the West to come out of it.
Right.
And I think coming into the playoffs, we see why people picked them. I mean, it was a slow start for both of them, but yeah, San Jose looks scary.
The $70 bazillion investment that Vegas made in Mark Stone looks like a wise one. He had both goals last night for Vegas. That Stastny, Pacioretty, Stone line looks like it's going to be the, and I hate to say this about Vegas, but the only line that's going to score in this playoff series if they don't get some additional help. Because
I mean,
now, San Jose, they've got lines rolling all over the place, and you got to find something else out of that Vegas team, because I don't know if Marc-Andre Fleury is good enough to withstand wave after wave after wave of Sharks
and
coming at him.
I don't think your defense is good enough either. I mean, you need your William Karlsson and your Jonathan Marchessault to put up some points too. I mean, you got to have more than just one line going when you're playing against the San Jose Sharks, because they're going to have 3 to 4 lines rolling for San Jose.
Sharks outshot them 33-26. Faceoffs were even, 50% each. Power plays scored once. Golden Knights were 1-for-4. San Jose 1-for-5. The big thing that I look at, though, Golden Knights blocked 21 shots as well. to San Jose's 16.
Yeah.
Like, you look at that, you take the 21 and the 33, that's 54 shots they put towards Fleury, as opposed to the 42 that the Golden Knights put towards Martin Jones.
Yeah,
that's a huge disparity right there.
Yeah, I mean, and playoff time comes around, there's always a lot more block shots and playoff time starts. So we'll see a lot of block shots, but yeah, I mean, when you got firepower like San Jose does, you're not going to expect to see less than 50 shots getting that at Fleury. So.
And that moves us to tonight, where games have already started in the East. Toronto and Boston, hasn't really started. They're still doing their regular
pregame. 6 hours to start.
But Toronto in Boston to start. That game was supposed to start at 11 minutes ago. The puck hasn't dropped yet. Carolina, Washington, it starts in about 19 minutes. And then Colorado, Calgary tonight at 9 p.m. Central Time, if you're looking for that game. Games right now are on all over the place. Sportsnet 360 will have the Carolina, Washington, if you're looking for that, as well as CBC covering both the Toronto and the Calgary games. So good to see that going on. And then we're back into game two for everybody on Saturday. So
it looks like the puck has just dropped in Toronto.
Oh, has it? Just finally got it underway. Congratulations. So for those in the survivor pool, hang tough. We're going to do all the updates next week.
I guess we didn't get any winners yesterday for
nobody. No, there was no shutout. There was no hat trick. There was no, well, it can't be an upset yet. It's only been one game, and there certainly was no team put out.
Well,
yet,
there was an upset in the first game.
There was an upset, but just not an upset. Yeah. So again, prizes will continue to roll over until we find some people that can get in there and certainly can win a prize. Again, if you're Boston, Toronto, Carolina, Washington, Colorado, or Calgary, you have an opportunity to win that shutout one tonight and obviously the hat trick one. So the challenges are still available. A couple other announcements I want to read out. Big shout out to, and we didn't get a chance to do this last week because obviously we were doing the Survivor NHL playoffs pool, but big shout out to Assiniboine Community College in Brandon. For those of you who don't know, they play in the ACHA, which is the American Collegiate Hockey Association. Teams from Texas right through to Manitoba. They go across from Thunder Bay to Alberta. A lot of different teams in there. They play in Division II. The Cougars women's team, went out and captured the ACHA championship on March 31st. They beat Minot State Beavers 1-0 in the final, as Marley Quesnel had posted the shutout in that game. Simone Turner-Cummer scored the lone goal and was named MVP in the tournament as she put the team up 1-0. The surprising part, the people that may raise their eyebrows and go, okay, well, what's so great about that? This team joined the ACHA in 2016. And was denied access to the playoffs until 2017 because they were on a sort of like a charter membership to get in.
Like a trial.
Like, it was basically like a are you good? If you're good enough, we'll keep you. If not, well, don't worry about it sort of thing.
Yeah.
They didn't play in their first playoff series until 2017. They went out and they won in 2019. This is a team that legitimately is now 2 years old in the ACHA, and they already have a championship to their name. Go. Three, I guess 3 years old, technically.
Well-built organization.
So good on the Assiniboine Community College Cougars as they go out and they win the ACHA today. That was March 31st. But they are the champions at least for one full year. So, and not only national champions. They are North American champions because, again, they beat a team from Texas. They beat Minot State, which is in North Dakota. They did some traveling to win.
How many teams are in that lead, you know?
Offhand, I believe, I don't know. I actually didn't write that note down. I know there was at least eight this year, if not more, because of the way the playoffs were set up. So
there you go.
So there's at least eight
good
teams.
League.
But there's some good players going into that league and certainly playing there as well. There's some great players, obviously, going down to Texas. I know Lakehead University out in Thunder Bay is in that. Mercyhurst, I believe, was in that for some of their championship. And like I said, Minot State down. And Minot State's been going hard. They've been recruiting a ton of players from Manitoba this year. So it looks like they're trying to build up.
Minot State is a big Manitoba recruiting school. I know a couple guys I played hockey with played at Minot State.
So the Beavers are loading up maybe for a big run next year. But good on Assiniboine Community College out in Brandon winning their championship. A little bit of pride back here in Manitoba. We didn't win it here in Manitoba this year with the women going to Charlottetown, but the girls from Brandon went
Someone
out.
Someone from Manitoba's got to win something.
We are racking up championships here for women's hockey in Manitoba. Speaking of women's hockey, let's get into a little bit of Women's World Championship as there were some semifinals played today. Canada will advance to the semifinals. They beat Germany today, so good on them for beating them. I think it was 5-0 was the final score. Finland will also advance. Finland beating the Czech Republic. If you're looking for anybody that you know in the Czech Republic, Martina Markova? I can't remember her name.
Sure.
I'll look it up anyway. Anyway, plays for the University of Regina. She's playing for the Czech Republic. Obviously, Venla Hovi for Finland. We know her. The U.S. pounded on Japan, unfortunately.
Makes sense.
But Japan, for the first time ever, advanced to the qualification or to the semifinal round.
There you go.
And then Russia. Russia went out and beat Switzerland to advance as well. So the final four in the Women's World Championship, U.S., Canada, Finland, Russia.
So it's Canada against...
Sounds like Canada against Finland, I believe, in terms of the way they
US
finished.
U.S. finished first.
Yeah, Canada finished second, Finland finished third. So Russia will play the Americans, unfortunately, and Canada will get Finland. But
kind of seemed like that's been the top four for the last few years.
The surprising part, though, the two teams that were relegated this year, France, which we kind of understood, they were coming in hot off the Division I last year, but certainly weren't going to match up against some of these bigger teams as well. Sweden, the other team to get relegated. So
that program has definitely fallen from heights.
And you know, it's kind of sad because you look at how good they were a few years ago, especially in the Olympics. We're talking about, you know, bronze medalist a couple of years ago, silver medalist a couple of years ago, and when they beat, you know, the Americans at in one of the, I can't remember which year it was, but whatever.
Yep. Yep.
They've got a bunch of medals. They've certainly had some great players come through that program, but this has been an absolutely ignored and forgotten about program for the last 4 or 5 years, and you can tell that this loss today, I mean, and I'm not putting it on any of the women that were on there, any of the coaching staff. They changed the coaching staff last year. It's not enough to really get it going in 1 year, but you look at the way that Sweden has neglected women's hockey in terms of their national program, and it's telling because they're not going to the national to the Women's World Hockey Championship. They're going to Division 1A next year, which means that they've got to battle hard to try and get back to that top division.
Yeah, their neighbors, Finland, I mean, it just improved year after year and gets closer and closer to competing with the Canadas in the U.S. So, I mean, just to have a program right next door doing so well and then another program failing. It's hard to see, especially a great hockey country in Sweden. So.
And I mean, you don't want to sort of build upon this as being part of the current sort of landscape for women's hockey, but it kind of is.
Yeah.
In seeing that we had the CWHL come out and fold in the last 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
that we had you know the Sweden adventure sort of fall to the wayside and not see them go into the Women's World Championship. That the teams that are getting the funding, the Finlands, the Russia especially getting a lot of funding, Switzerland, which is now picked up again, getting some good funding there. Again, Canada, U.S., we always know they're going to get funding. Yeah. Same thing with Finland, they're going to get some good funding as well.
Yeah.
But you see these teams, Japan, starting to pour a lot of resources into their women's hockey program. They've got a couple of good, really good players that have come along and really helped push that program as well. You look at that and you go, my lord, there's going to be some good teams. You know, another country that's really poured a lot of money into their hockey situation right now for women's hockey, Denmark and Norway.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Norway, Matea Fischer plays at UBC. We've seen how good she is. Very good. Hungary, who's actually got a bunch of Canadians playing for it. I don't want to bring that up, but
it seems like that even when it came to the Olympics.
Kazakhstan and all them having it. I get that.
Yeah.
Alex Gowie plays at the University of Alberta. She's got citizenship in Hungary, so she plays for them. Stephanie Nering, who played at, I believe, at Guelph. She also has citizenship. She's their goaltender. She's, again, playing extremely well over there.
Yeah.
But Hungary is starting to really invest and really sort of, you know, push their program to get better and better. You look at some of these smaller countries now that are really starting to push the envelope a little bit.
Yeah.
And no longer is it just, you know, Canada, U.S., Finland, Russia at the top. Switzerland's jumping in. Japan's jumping in. Denmark's trying to get in there. Like, there is going to be, and again, it takes some time to build this. There's going to be an explosion here of women's hockey players that come out of these smaller countries now, and they're going to need a place to play. And that leads us to what happened with the other leagues.
Yep.
And I think a key statement, Gary Bettman was on Primetime Sports with Bob McCown, Stephen Brunn, and Richard Deitch the other day. 2 days ago, and he basically said exactly what needed to be said. People have come out very critical of the NHL for not funding women's hockey. And I want to be very clear about this. Gary Bettman sets the record straight within the first 10 seconds of him being on there. And here's what he said. And I know, and again, don't get mad at me. I'm just playing the clip.
This is
Gary Bettman speaking to the guys on Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590 and Rogers Sportsnet TV about the NHL's obligation to fund women professional women's hockey in North America. Let's see if I can get this going.
Gary, there's another sort of story that's been on the minds of NHL fans, I think, over the last 2 weeks, and that's the where we're going to see professional women's hockey. And what is the NHL's responsibility, in your opinion, when it comes to funding the finances of such a league?
Well, I don't think we have a responsibility to fund the business of other leagues. They have investors. They have a business plan. I've been pretty clear publicly and in discussions I've had with both leagues, and I didn't believe and don't believe that the current models are sustainable in the long term.
Either one of them?
Either one of them. Okay. But and unfortunately, the prophecy was correct for the CWHL. And I have a great respect for Jaina, who, you know, I was inducted into the Hall of Fame with. And we've...
All right. Now, enough of the small talk there, Gary. So I want to say this, and I'll make a little bit of a comparison here. McDonald's does not fund your local mom-and-pop burger joint. Why? They can. They have tons of money. They've got lots of resources. They can do whatever they want. But they don't, because they don't own that business.
Yep. And that business has a business plan.
That's their own business. They do whatever they want with their business. We're not getting involved. Now, and I get that. People are going to get mad and go, but the NHL has a response. The NHL has no responsibility. Yep. They're a business first. Yep. We have talked about this repeatedly on this show, that NHL hockey is no longer hockey as a sport. Yep. It is a business first and a sport second.
And Gary Bettman is a businessman.
And not only is he a businessman, he is in charge of making sure that the 31 shares that he has at the board of governors table, the 31 shares, the 31 million and billionaires that are sitting at that table make money.
Yeah.
And right now he knows that's not going to make them money. So we want nothing to do with it. And he even says later in the interview that unless we assume control, I'll find the exact quote here. I'm going to paraphrase it,
but you do not invest money into something that you know that's not going to work. If you know something's not going to work, you're not going to give your money because you're going to lose it.
He was asked about the WNBA-NBA model, and Gary's reply was, quote, "It's not self-sustaining without the NBA's support, and if we get involved, we will not have the option of letting it fail. If that's our responsibility, there's a level of control we would have to assume, and that's where it stands. If they're getting in, it's on the NHL's terms, and they'll do it the NHL's way.
Yeah.
Don't ask me to look at somebody else's business. I'm not interested in that.
Yeah.
If we're involved, it's on our terms."
And wouldn't that be huge for the women's hockey if the NHL started a women's
league? And again, Gary answered that question as well. He said, quote, "I'm not here to kibosh that league," referring to the NWHL, which is now the only women's league that there is.
Yep.
"If they want to make a go of it, great. If that suits the players' needs and feasibility-wise, okay. In the final analysis, I believe there's a sustainable model probably... I believe a sustainable model, excuse me, probably will require the resources and the platforms that the NHL has."
Yeah.
In other words, we're big enough to not let it fail, even if it loses money.
Yeah. And he is one of the best businessmen in sports right now. So he knows what it takes to run that type of business, to run a league.
He is getting more and more sponsorship, more and more money coming into the NHL. We hear about the billions of dollars in profits they make every year.
Yeah.
It's not like he doesn't know how to turn a penny into a nickel, into a quarter within a short amount of time. He is a very good businessman. You can hate Gary Bettman for everything he stands for, and I'm okay with that. He is a capitalist. He is a guy that's out there looking for profits.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, 31 guys are relying on him to make them a lot of money.
Yeah, because if he's not making them money, he doesn't have a job.
Exactly.
So it just makes me wonder why the NHL, if they sound like they're willing.
So the inevitable truths are this, and I'll bring this in. The NHL will not venture into women's professional hockey until there is no other option for the women. That means that as long as the NWHL is operating, that means if Graham Rustin, who is the former investor in the CWHL, starts up his own franchise, his own league, which is what he's talking about, if anyone else decides to jump in, the NHL doesn't want to compete with them. The NHL is saying is, if there's no other option, if there's a void on the landscape, we'll step in at that point because that gives us, I mean, and again, it's kind of the right thing to do at that point, but it also gives them unconditional and unopposed control over how women's hockey is going to be decided to play and where to play. And that is a monster statement for him to say, you know what, we realize that there are fans out there that we don't have, that there's a demographic that we can't capture without women's hockey.
Yeah.
But we're willing to do it only when we have to.
Yeah.
We're big enough that we don't need it, but we want it on our terms.
Yeah. Which makes sense. To me, it makes sense. I wouldn't want to do it any other way. I mean, is it because there's maybe a little bit to the egos in women's hockey, the people in control of women's hockey right now, those egos are a little bit too strong and they think that they can make it work the way they're doing it. I don't know how it's supposed to, how it should go, because, I mean, obviously money is not being made. Leagues are folding. Trying to make it as one league makes sense so that you're not fighting between two leagues.
Well, sure, yeah. Yeah, I agree.
But, I mean, just now talking about trying to start up the league again, the CWHL again, or another league, doesn't make sense. It seems like it's just one step forward, two steps back type of thing for women's professional women's hockey. So,
and that's exactly, I think, what has to happen is that you got to take those steps back. You got to look at your resources. You got to look at how much money you're spending. If you're not making money, there's a problem there, number one. But number two, if you're not making money, is there anybody else that can take the hit? And I'm pretty sure that the billion-dollar company that's basically waiting in the wings can go, we got this.
Yeah.
We got this. No, don't worry about it. So it'll be interesting to see if and when that happens. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I know, you know, NWHL has not been mentioned a lot on this show simply because of the way that the show is treated by the league. But at the same time, it's legitimately the only option that's out there right now. Do the players want to play there, number one? And number two, do sponsors and do companies want to support that league, knowing that the NHL is literally just standing going, time's ticking, ladies. Yeah. Time's ticking.
Yeah. I probably know how the players feel. Like, they want to play the game.
Oh,
they
sure.
Want,
yeah.
They want
yeah, yeah.
to be the best it can be. And I think the only way that could happen is if the NHL is running the show.
Yeah. That's what it's going to come down to, for sure. Yeah. Just before we get out of here, we got about 2 minutes to go. Just want to bring everybody up to date in the KHL. If you're watching, KHL has CSKA in the final against Avangard Omsk. Avangard, who doesn't have a home this year because of their arena getting repaired, is in the final. For those that are wondering in terms of is there anybody I should be aware of on these two teams, the answer is yes.
Of course it is.
Because if you're keeping track of all the Edmonton Oilers having success in the NHL playoffs, there are also a bunch of Edmonton Oilers having some success over in the KHL as well. Just a quick look at some of the players that are on CSKA. I'll just run down quickly here. Not going to waste too much time on this. Yannick Hansen, former Manitoba Moose, former Vancouver Canuck in that the setup. Klaas Dahlbeck, Mikhail Grigorenko, Sergei Kalinin is over there as well in terms of playing in the with CSKA. Matt Robinson, who played in the Olympics for Canada, is over there. A couple other, Anton Shlepashev, he's over here. Ivan Telegin, former Ice Cap and Jet, is over there as well. So Lyndon Vay, former Vancouver Canuck, playing for CSKA. But it's the other team. The other team that you might want to keep an eye on, because Avangard's got a couple of players that you're going to go, man, I totally forgot about that guy. So Avangard, as we bring up their player roster quickly here, but we got about 30 seconds to go here. The one guy that you probably remember most, David Desharnais.
What?
Playing for them. Alexi Emelin playing for them.
Yeah.
Cody Franzen playing for them. So there's a couple of big. Kirill Petrov, who played for Russia, and Vili Paka, who was a member of Chicago Blackhawks for a short time. Sergei Shirokov.
Ooh. The former Moose.
Former Moose as well, in terms of getting there. Victor Stahlberg is over there as well. Maxime Talbot over there as well.
Just
so
an NHL roster.
I was going to say, they're basically a small NHL team. So KHL will be decided in the next couple of weeks as well. They haven't started that final series yet, but CSKA number one ranked from the West, and Avangard number four ranked from the East in the final there to see who is going to take the championship. Both teams have KHL. Both teams have KHL championships previously. Neither have won the Gagarin Cup as it currently stands. So there's your answer, Beans.
Awesome.
For everything going on this week, Let's go watch some playoff hockey now. Yeah. So if you're in, again, congratulations go out to Skippy for winning the pizza. Get down to Boston Pizza if you want, your playoff headquarters. Get yourself some great grub there. As we get out of here for another week, Beans, anything you want to say before we get out of here as we bring in Vampire Weekends once more for this life? Anything you want to say?
Yeah, and if you're not going to watch NHL playoffs this weekend, Masters started today, so it's Masters.
That's true, and the Canadian that's in there, what's his name?
Corey Connors?
Yeah, Corey Connors. He was leading for a short time. Tiger's now
he's
leading.
He's tied for 12th now.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, though,
Mike
good showing.
Mike Weir is up there.
Good showing from Connors, though. It's nice. See, he's from Listowel. Same hometown as Jared Kiso. So there you go, folks. There's your tie-in for golf as well as we get out of here, Vampire Weekend with This Life here on 101.5 UMFM. Thanks for joining us, everybody. See you next week.